it's here and now. Today, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe made a controversial visit to the Yasukuni Shrine in Japan, which honors the country's war dead. Some of those dead are also war criminals, including the men who ordered the brutal World War II invasion of China. So China was not happy about the visit. Prime Minister Abe wore a solemn mourning suit, and after the visit, he said he only came to pray for peace.
I paid my respects to the war dead who sacrificed their precious lives for Japan and also prayed for their souls to rest in peace.
Well, China called the visit absolutely unacceptable and summoned Japan's ambassador to Beijing. Meanwhile, the tensions in Thailand continue today, but not because of anything going on outside the country. It's a fight between supporters of the government and those who don't support it. It's been going on since October, but it got violent today. A police officer was killed and nearly 100 people were injured in Bangkok. The country's electoral commission is calling for a delay in elections that were scheduled for February because of concerns about safety for candidates and voters. Those elections were called in response to the protests. The BBC's Jonathan Head joins us from Bangkok. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, what has just happened? Why have these protests flared up in this way?
Well, they've never really gone away. You really get two kinds of protests in Thailand, and it's all part of the same movement. The movement that's been pushing to get the government out of power includes a lot of different groups. On the big days, when they want lots of numbers, they call for everyone to come out, and you tend to see a lot of middle-class people from Bangkok, some of the people from the south, which is the stronghold of the main opposition party, all coming together, often in very quite jolly gatherings, huge numbers of people on the streets of Bangkok, blowing their whistles and making their point. But there are some more hardcore members of this alliance of different groups who believe in taking a much more confrontational approach to the authorities. And they're the ones that we've seen in the past launching attacks on police lines outside government buildings. It was one of those groups that decided to go down to the stadium in Bangkok where they've been registering the political parties for the election and where today they were drawing up lots about where they would appear on the ballot papers. There have been protests outside that stadium earlier this week, but they didn't stop the registration going on. This group launched a very determined assault. They armed themselves with slingshots, some homemade bombs. They call them ping pong bombs, small bombs, but they're nasty. They can cause nasty injuries. And the police, who were lined up inside, fired back volleys of tear gas. They used rubber bullets as well. It all got very nasty indeed. And at the end of it, and it went on for several hours, we've got a lot of injuries, around 100 people injured, some of them seriously. And clearly, some people were firing guns. It's not clear who, but one police officer is dead from a gunshot wound to the chest. At least one of the protesters was hit by gunfire, probably more, and we believe other police officers were also hit. So it is this protest has escalated, and there are clearly people among in these protests who are trying to stir it up and make things worse. It's a lot more tense after today's clashes than it has been after some previous protests.
And what is it that the protesters want at this point? Because the government has already said in response to the protest that it's going to hold elections in February.
An election is exactly what they don't want. Now, I think there's been some slightly oversimplistic definition of these protesters as being anti-democracy. That's a little unfair. It's not that they're against democracy in theory. It's that they don't like the way it's worked out in Thailand. They argue that the way that the rural electorate thinks, they're far too easily swayed by generous populist policies and by simple arguments, and that they're not thinking hard enough about the government they elect. And in five successive elections, they voted for the same party. It's the party that was founded by the brash billionaire Thaksin Shinawatra. He's now in exile, but he's carried on. He's very wealthy. He's carried on funding the party. He's very influential. His sister Yingluck is the current prime minister,
right.
And they believe that he concentrates too much power in his hands, that he ignores the checks and balances that should be there in a parliamentary system, and that he bribes the electorate. That's the argument they use. And for that reason, they want Thailand's democracy to be redrawn. So they're not happy with another election because they know the current governing party would almost certainly win a sixth election because of the intense loyalty it has from these large numbers of mainly rural people, but quite a lot of poorer people in Bangkok, too, who really believe this government has done a lot to change their lives.
Well, so if they don't want another election because they wouldn't win another election, what is it that they want? They just want the government to step down and give power over to them?
Well, that's where we really have a lot of problems, I think, with what they're arguing, because they say the government should be forced out and replaced by an appointed people's council. And they talk about a council of the great and the good, which they say should then set about the task of completely redrawing Thailand's political institutions to make them less susceptible to an overweening, powerful populist party. The problem with that is, you know, Thailand's been through reforms before. It went through a very long process of reform, changing the constitution in the 1990s. It took about 4 years. And also after the military coup in 2006, which was against Thaksin Shinawatra and ousted him from power, the military drew up another constitution and tried to change all the various independent bodies to make sure that when a party wins an election, it can't be too domineering. Both of those have failed, and they haven't stopped pro-Thaksin parties from winning elections. So any attempt at reform now is clearly going to be a very long and drawn-out process and very divisive. You know, nobody trusts anybody on the two sides of Thailand's political divide. And you have to ask who would run the country in the meantime. This is not a tin pot economy. It's one of the most important economies in the region.
Right.
Very locked into the global economy. And so, you know, it's not really an answer to say just put an appointed committee there. And of course, if they did that, that the huge number of people who support this government would cry foul and say, no, we elected it. So it isn't really an answer, and it's the only answer they're offering.
Well, and a big part of the economy right now is tourism. And this is a time of year when many Westerners, many Americans head to Thailand to go and see the country. Are the protests in areas where tourists are?
They're pretty localized. I mean, even people staying in Bangkok don't really have to see them. And a lot of them are quite good-natured. I think I've actually seen tourists at the bigger, more jovial protests, you know, taking pictures and enjoying themselves. So they're not much of a threat. But I think the effect on the image of the country could be serious. People are also booking holidays at this time of the year. It's likely to have a knock-on effect on tourism. Tourism accounts for about 7.5% of GDP. So it's pretty important here. And it grew very fast last year. The bigger worry, I think, for the economy is obviously if this political conflict escalates, it's very, very tense. There are a lot of people with weapons out there. There's a huge amount of mistrust. There's every possibility of it escalating. And you know, the traditional arbiters here, the monarchy, that can't play much of a role because the king is so old and frail now. And the army itself is both divided and very reluctant to get drawn in because it failed so spectacularly after the last coup in 2006. So that makes the conflict very worrying for long-term investors. This is a place where big international companies, the auto manufacturers like Ford and General Motors, the Japanese ones are here. You know, they put big long-term commitments here. Now, the political turmoil hasn't affected them. They're in areas outside the capital. They haven't really been touched. But they are worried, I think, about this perpetual political weakness, the fact that you don't get a long-term government that knows it's going to be in for a full term of office, could get re-elected, and which could then implement policies this country really needs to make it more competitive. It needs massive improvements to its infrastructure. It needs improvements to its education system. Those are areas where I think long-term investors are going to look at Thailand and say, well, this has gone on now for nearly 8 years, this political turmoil. How much more of this can we put up with?
The BBC's Jonathan Head speaking to us from Bangkok, Thailand. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Lookout, for protecting people and businesses from mobile threats like malware, spyware, and device loss. Available for download on Android and iPhone. And Lumosity.com, with web-based brain games created by neuroscientists to improve memory and attention. Learn more at Lumosity.com.